Well, let's talk about singing tonight in the ministry of congregational singing. It is a part of the life of a church. It's a part of your ministry. And I don't know if there's a better night to think about congregational singing than congregational request night. Very interesting. Really, it is always interesting. But tonight, we have sung songs from about, it seems to me, we've sung songs that have been written over a span of 8 centuries. Now that is incredible. But it tells us something about meaningful, biblically based music. And while there are a lot of things in life that change, even cultures change, cultural tastes change, really cultures around the world, there are uniquenesses, I know, to every culture. But for God's church, there is something that is endearing and enduring in the ministry of music that we have one to another. And tonight, you were part of the music ministry of Stanley Heights Baptist Church, but not just tonight. Every time we gather, you're part of the music ministry of Stanley Heights Baptist Church. Would you please take a few minutes with me? And I just want to talk with you about congregational worship. I think it is significant for us first to understand the distinction of our worship. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, the 12th chapter of Romans begins, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what, congregation? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Do you realize that it is God's will for us to be transformed, our thinking and our lives, rather than being squeezed into the mold of the world around us, to be transformed into the likeness of Christ? Now that affects every area of your life. Let me ask you this, in your workplace, do you think that you ought to speak differently about your boss than your lost coworker? You should, because you should understand authority and respect. In your workplace, should you be diligent? Maybe even more diligent than your lost coworkers around you. You should, because you represent Christ everywhere you go. I wonder if in your life, if you're different, distinct from the people around you in your thinking. And I wonder if you're different, distinct in the way that you talk and the way that you walk. And I wonder if you're distinct in every area of your life. Now, I'm not talking about weird because, now listen, I know you're weird. So that goes without saying. But I'm talking about a qualitative difference because you are not like them. You are one of God's children. And you are his ambassador. In fact, everywhere you go in life, you represent him. It's true in every part of your life. And you know, it should be true as well, even in our worship. When God gave his people Israel the Old Testament law to regulate them as a unique society under his rule, a theocracy, he gave them this law, and he gave them laws governing every area of their lives. Do you realize that the Jewish people had a different system of handling money than anybody else? Because they were God's people. And they have a relationship with the living God, and as the one true God, it transformed the way that they should handle their money. They had different things about their dress. I'm really glad I don't live in their time. If I did, and if you did, you'd have to wear blue tassels. And how many of you are glad you didn't have to put your blue tassels on tonight? Count your tallits. They have a different sense of morality than anyone else around them. They carried out their business in different ways. Their worship was different. And God wanted his people to be a testimony to the world around them that they were not like them, because they had a relationship with the living God that made the quality of their life very distinct. And even in our worship, the quality of the way we approach God ought to be distinct and different. Now, where you strike the balance on that, I'm glad that you have it all figured out. I haven't all figured it out myself. But I'll tell you, there ought to be something different. And do you know, when somebody comes into a congregation, we who know and love and have a heart of passion for God, it ought to be distinct in the way that we sing. Different. But we ought to sing with enthusiasm and meaning. And our hearts tuned in to the truth that we sing. We are singing life-changing truth, right? Aren't we? And I hope you think of it that way. So let's remember the distinction of our worship. Then there's something else to consider tonight I want to just talk to you about, and that is the dynamic of our worship. And this is where I'm going to have you turn to two portions of Scripture that directly deal with the subject of congregational singing. The first is Ephesians chapter 5. And then, when you get Ephesians chapter 5, you will want to keep your place there, because we will go back and forth from a parallel passage in the book of Colossians that addresses the same subject. And it should be in your Bible, just a few pages. Colossians chapter 3. All right. So you have these two passages that deal directly with our congregational worship. And so let's talk about the dynamic of our worship. And I want to talk about your music ministry. You say, well, wait a minute. I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. How many of you know somebody who can't carry a tune in a bucket? Yes. How many of that you know that person sits near you sometimes? Well, wait, does that person have a congregational music ministry? You'd better believe that person does. Absolutely. Everybody who's a child of God has a congregational music ministry. You better believe you do. And God tells us about it in these portions of Scripture. It is significant for us to remember the two-directional dynamic of your ministry, music ministry. Did you know that the first direction of your music ministry is one another music ministry? Congregational music ministry is a ministry that is a mutual challenge one to another. As you sing and you hear the brothers and the sisters around you sing, there's a mutual ministry. So you'll notice Ephesians 5:19, we are told this, speaking to whom? Yourselves. In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then when you flip over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So did you know that the way that you sing and your involvement and your enthusiasm for singing praise to the Lord and truth from the Lord is a ministry? How many of you would like it if I, as the preacher, preached with the same enthusiasm with which you sang? It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today. I'm so thrilled. God has changed my life. I would like Him to change your life too. I will barely open my mouth only when necessary to preach this sermon. And those of you that are hard of hearing say, "What did he say? What did he say? Huh? What?" You'd say, "Well, I want our preacher to be a little more enthusiastic. I mean, he's preaching the word. He's opening the scriptures and bringing an exposition of the word. He's revealing God to us." Wait a minute. Don't you reveal God's truth to people when you sing? Now, I realize that some of us are more into music than others, right? I understand that. And because of this vocal issue that I have, one of the things that I really miss is I just really miss singing, because I love to sing. Thankfully, I play. And that doesn't bother vocal issues that I have. So really, though, I know some of us are more into singing, but every one of us, if you have a heart for God, how can you help but want to praise Him? And how can you help but want to communicate the truth that is in that song and let the truth speak to you as you sing it? So congregational ministry, your congregational ministry of music, is a mutual challenge of congregational singing. It involves the entirety of the person. As a person, you are made up of intellect, the ability to think, of emotion, the ability, the capability to feel, of will, the willingness and the ability to decide. Did you know congregational music should stir you in every part of who you are? Teaching. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The intellect. Thinking about what you're singing. Aren't you glad you know what panoply means now? It's an arsenal. And boy, you better believe if you're in a spiritual fight, you need all of the arsenal of God, don't you? Intellect, and then there's emotion, and oh, singing with grace in your heart so that it stirs you emotionally. And then there's the will, so that as I respond to what God says, I am stirred emotionally, and then I choose to obey the Lord. And God uses this term, admonishing. You know, the word admonishing means to confront with the truth. Speaking is a conversation. Teaching is communicating truth. Admonishing is confronting with truth. And when we sing together, what is happening is God is speaking to you in the whole being, intellect, emotion, will, and you are engaged with God in a dynamic experience in your own fellowship and worship with God as He is confronting and challenging and teaching and encouraging you. And you at the very same time are doing so with the brothers and sisters all around you. And when our guests come, I hope that they see that though we are pretty well organized. How's that? I hope that they realize that there's a dynamic, because these are people that have a heart for God and are interacting with God. Now, you have to be careful, though, and I want us to be wise about this, because I think of that old song. How many of you know that song? I hadn't heard in a long time. "I'm so tired of being stirred, but not being changed." How many of you know that one? How many of you know that? Hey, the song has its place, right? But it speaks to something very significant. And that is this: that there are times when God moves us, that's appropriate. But just being moved isn't worship. So when God moves us, then our minds are submitted to the truth and we're confronted with the truth and we yield ourselves to Him and we are transformed. I said this, I don't know how many hundreds of times. Congregational singing is really less about music ministry than it is about educational ministry. It's one of the great ways that God teaches His church. It's the reason you can remember a commercial jingle from 20, 30, 40 years ago, and you can't remember where you were last week. But you remember that jingle because of the power of music. And then there's something else to consider, and let's think about the much-needed content of congregational singing. When you read this, these two passages we address, there are three kinds of songs. There's psalms. What are psalms? Psalms are scriptures that are or songs that are taken directly from the scripture. In fact, there's an entire hymnal in the Old Testament, the Psalms, right? Or taken from scriptural texts. So, hey, did you know we sang one of those this morning? What did we sing this morning? We sang a song that came directly, two quotes from Matthew's gospel. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And we did two verses taken directly from the scripture. There's another one we learned in the month of August, right? And we'll close maybe tonight if we close our service with a song. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't on Sunday night, almost always on Sunday morning. And it's taken from Proverbs 18:10, this theme of our study on the names of God on Sunday mornings. And the scripture, let's put your mind to the test. Are you ready? Let's say together Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And what is the name of the song that we learned based on that scripture? It's called A Strong Tower. And we take those words, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, a tower in which we can hide. We take those words and they're incorporated into a song. That's a psalm. Scriptures being sung. And then there's hymns. Hymns, very specifically, are songs of praise and songs of biblical truth. And then there are spiritual songs. Now, spiritual songs is one that is really hard to nail down in terms of as far as specific biblical words. Because a spiritual song means this. It means a spiritual song. And it's hard to define exactly what a spiritual song is. And I'll let you figure all that out. But a spiritual song certainly is always going to have biblical truth. And a spiritual song needs to have, and it could be very much experience of my life in relationship with God. But either way, there has to be a yieldedness to and somehow related to and submission to the Holy Spirit. That's true of every area of life, right? But it reminds us that there must be rich and deep content so that Colossians begins with these words, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. When the word is centered in your songs, or your life and your worship is centered on the word, then speaking to yourselves, speaking and admonishing to yourselves, so that now the word through the music speaks to us. That's the way congregational music is made and the way God tells us about our congregational music. But there's another direction in this dynamic of our worship, because it is our congregational singing ministry. Your ministry is a one another music ministry, but your music ministry is a God-focused ministry, for we are to sing with grace in our hearts, Ephesians says, to the Lord. Are we here to entertain you? Really, a God-focused life in everything needs to be to the Lord. Our singing is about the Lord, and our singing to one another and to the Lord at the same time. And we have to ask then, are we presenting Him well? Are we promoting Him? Are we pleasing Him? And I hope in all of your music ministry that it is all driven because there is God's grace in your hearts. Singing with grace in your hearts. A grace-driven life. Grace-driven singing. But let's remember who the director of our worship is. Because in Ephesians chapter 5, one of the passages to which you've turned, and I've dealt with these very quickly. In Ephesians chapter 5, there is a series of commands, or of not commands, of instructions. In the Greek language, they're called participles. In English, we think of them as, this is one for you kids in school. Here you go. And when you go to English class, you tell your parents, I'm never going to use this. But you kids, what do you call a part of speech that ends with an ing? Do you know what that's called? If one of you kids knows it, you want to shout it out? I'm not going to. It's called a gerund. In the Greek language, these are verbs that describe what happens whenever you follow the command in a passage. And in the passage of Scripture, the command is Ephesians chapter 5, and it's verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 19, and we are told this. Here's the command, or verse 18 rather, or I'll start in verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be, here's the command, filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God control your life, just like a drunk would let alcohol control their life. To that extent, yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God and let Him control your life. And then God says, now, when the Holy Spirit of God controls your life, there are a number of things that happen. Verse 19, your worship has changed, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Your gratitude has changed. Verse 20, giving thanks. Your submission has changed, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Your marriage has changed, verse 22, wives. And then verse 23, husbands. Did you know your home has changed? Chapter 6, verse 1, obey your parents. Your workplace has changed, chapter 6, verse 5, servants, be obedient to your masters. See, everything changes when God the Spirit changes you and controls your life. The director of our worship is the Holy Spirit of God. So with a life yielded to the Holy Spirit, He takes something that is static and dull and He gives it His supernatural life. And I hope that is the way that you think about your music ministry of congregational singing. God speaks and we respond. And when we respond in submission to the Lord, what happens is we bless God and we bless the people around us. Our lives are not only changed personally, but even the way that we sing impacts the people around us. Wow. I hope that your ministry in some way is enhanced because you learned what God told you tonight about your congregational singing ministry. Hey, let's do it. Would you stand with me, please? And we're going to close out tonight with a song that we just learned last month, right?